McGurl, crossover, out to Miguel, corner three, and he hit it! Shelton Miguel on a night where he has struggled from downtown, pulls the trigger on a three, and K-State leads it with eight to go. Akinwole trying to drive it on McGurl, into the corner, a three for the win, no!
K-State does dodge a bullet. Our focus on Kansas State athletics today brought to you by Heineken Electric in Beloit and by Hanson Auction Realty in Beloit. K-State men now 5-5 overall, 1-1 in the Big 12. Win a non-conference game at home at Bramlage over Omaha, who came in with a record of 2-7. They're now 2-8. K-State survived 60-58. They were down 1 with 17 seconds to play, but you heard Shelton Miguel with a three-pointer, and then K-State dodges a bullet there at the end with the last missed shot by Omaha. And Bruce Weber, head coach of K-State, kind of agrees with us. Fortunate.
It's a tough, hard-fought win. That I'm not sure we deserved the win, but we made some plays when it counted, got some stops when it counted. Shelton goes 3-for-14, but hits obviously a big one that makes the difference. A game winner for us, and Mike McGurl makes the right pass. Again, it's been really good. Assist turnover 6-2 again. You know, we kept talking at the huddles. You know, we had to make some plays and make some things happen.
K-State has now won four of the last five games after starting the season 1-4. And Miguel with the big three-pointer after struggling shooting the ball during the ball game hit that three with 9.7 seconds left to give K-State the victory. Freshman Nigel Pack, a couple of key jumpers after being questionable whether he was going to play after ankle injury sustained in practice on Sunday. And K-State does squeak one out. They'll be back in Big 12 action coming up on Saturday at 1 o'clock as they'll host TCU, who has a record of 6-2, 1-1 in the Big 12. There's also an upset in top 25 basketball last night. Number 5, Houston, loses to Tulsa 65-64 as Tulsa hits two free throws with 1/10 of a second left in the ball game. As Houston made the game go-ahead jumper with 6 seconds left, Tulsa had the good length of the floor with no timeouts, but they were fouled with 1/10 of a second left. Tulsa now 5-3. Of course, they're in the same conference, Wichita State, so big win for Tulsa over Houston, 65-64 last night. Local sports, got a little bit of eight-man information.
Yeah, the head coaches have been named for the eight-man All-Star Games coming up here this June in Beloit, and there'll be Alex McMillan of Madison coaching the D1 East, Hoxie's Lance Bars, the D1 West coach. Division 2, Eric Detweiler of Axtell will be the head coach in the East, and then Nick Fawcett of St. Francis is the head coach in the West. So those are the head coaches, and they'll all meet. There's a selection meeting will take place on January 9th. Usually that's all in one place, but they'll have it a couple different places here this year. And then once they make all those selections, they'll have 80 of the top players, seniors in the state, that'll be picked to play in the eight-man All-Star Games. So hopefully we'll have that shortly after January 9th and be able to tell you who's all going to be playing in the eight-man All-Star Game this summer.
Very well. Locker room chats will resume beginning next week. Hope to have some basketball for you next Friday night on the radio as well. Depending on what happens, of course. Maybe turning the calendar to 2021, I'll just solve everything. I got a feeling it won't, but we can be hopeful and optimistic or wishful thinking. College football last night, the Big 12 fared well. Oklahoma State beat Miami of Florida 37-34 in the Camping, it was a Cheez-It Bowl at Camping World Stadium because you need sponsors all over everything. Oklahoma State with the dousing of Mike Gundy with Cheez-Its, which I thought was clever. And the Valero Alamo Bowl, Texas rolled Colorado 55-23. Sam Ellinger left with a shoulder injury, but it didn't faze Texas. They win the Alamo Bowl easily, so Big 12 did a nice job yesterday. The Duke's Mayo Bowl is today at 11 a.m. on ESPN, Wake Forest against Wisconsin. The Transperfect Music City Bowl was canceled between number 15 Iowa and Missouri. And the Goodyear Cotton Bowl Classic at AT&T Stadium in Arlington, number 6 Oklahoma against number 7 Florida. That's a 7 o'clock tonight on ESPN. Oklahoma was a 3-point dog. They are the 3-point favorite because Florida's top two receivers and their outstanding tight end all opted out to prepare for the NFL draft. So that's the schedule. Then tomorrow there is the Armed Forces Bowl, the Arizona Bowl, the Liberty Bowl, and the Texas Bowl, which has been canceled, of course, now. That leads me to that. The 2020 Texas Bowl between Arkansas and TCU is canceled due to an uptick in COVID-19 cases within TCU's program. The combination of positives, contact tracing, and injuries put the Frogs below the Big 12 threshold for playing. The game was scheduled for tomorrow evening. Cancellation makes the Texas Bowl the 16th such bowl game to be axed due to the coronavirus. Most bowl games were canceled before matchups were announced, but others, including the Music City Bowl, which I mentioned, Iowa and Missouri, have been canceled closer to their scheduled dates. The New Year's Day, it's the Peach Bowl, the Citrus Bowl, and then the semifinal game number one, which will be a blowout, Notre Dame and Alabama. Alabama now a 19.5-point favorite. That's at 3 o'clock, and then the Sugar Bowl between number 2 Clemson and number 3 Ohio State. Dusty will not be here tomorrow, so let's just go ahead and, first of all, New Year's Day was always fun for me because it used to be you had tons of bowl games, three channels, you flip around. Now look at this. New Year's Day, we have two college football semifinals, and does anybody care about a Peach Bowl and a Citrus Bowl earlier in the day?
No.
And you know, the Peach Bowl could be interesting. 11 o'clock, it's on New Year's Day, number 8 Cincinnati against number 9 Georgia. But does Georgia really, are they motivated in this game? Cincinnati would be.
Yeah.
Number 14 Northwestern against Auburn with a new coach. Are they really motivated in this game? Northwestern is. That's the Citrus Bowl at noon on New Year's Day. And then you get the semifinal 1 and 2. And then the thing that cracks me up about the semifinals is then on January 2nd, after the semifinals, when everybody's going to be talking about the semifinals and who won and who's going to play for the championship, we're just going to ignore, and that's what ESPN's going to do. You're going to ignore the Gator Bowl. You're going to ignore the Outback Bowl, the Fiesta Bowl, and the Capital One Orange Bowl. You're pretty much going to ignore those. And I was not a proponent and was for the playoff of four teams when it came out. You can go back and listen to the tape years ago when it came out. I said it's going to be worse than the BCS. I stand by that comment. The only way it's better is it's one step closer to what I want, and that is a 8, 16, 12, 32-team playoff. I want a full-fledged playoff. We can do it every other level of college football. Why can't we do it Division I? We can, or the main core of teams as I look at it. I know there's Division I, FCS, FBS. I'm talking the big boys. Well, let's just have it. We have NCAA tournament. We play that out. Why can't we have a playoff and play it out? And why can't we have every conference champion represented? And I'm talking the Sun Belt, too.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of silly, but we know why. It's all about money, control, kind of like government. Very similar, to be quite honest with you. I mean, what do you see what's happening now? We can't even agree. Can't even get people to give people Americans checks for $2,000. But I guarantee you some of these top dogs are making $2,000 an hour.
Mm-hmm.
Let alone, you know, give people, which, by the way, it's our money that we're just going to get, and then we're going to have to pay back later on anyway.
Yeah.
You know, but anyway, I digress from politics. So I want to know Dusty's pick here. We'll skip all the bowl games, too. We'll do what everybody else does. The playoff games, Alabama-Notre Dame, I have zero 0% chance Notre Dame wins this game. I think this is going to be ugly. If Notre Dame can hang around for a half, I will be stunned. Alabama will win this game, and they'll win it easily going away. And I saw yesterday, because ESPN just has to have something to hang their hat on to promote this because they have the playoff games. Well, the advantage Notre Dame has against Alabama, Dusty, is that their tight ends are really good. Listen, if that's all you got, you're dead against Alabama, because I'm going to tell you something. Alabama will say, you know what? We'll give you the tight end category. You can have that. We got the best wide receiver in the country who might win the Heisman, who trumps all your tight ends. We have a running back that's probably the best running back in the country who trumps your tight ends. We have the best offensive line in the country, which trumps your tight ends. And we've got a quarterback who probably on any other year would win the Heisman most years. He might be our third best player on offense. And he trumps your tight ends. So you can have your stinking tight ends who block real well, can catch the ball. We got guys that will just go ahead and beat everybody and don't have to break tackles and score. So, yay, Notre Dame has really good tight ends. I was just laughing hysterically when I saw that yesterday.
Gotta
You're grabbing
something.
On to hope that isn't even there. Notre Dame's going to get embarrassed. As long as Alabama wants to embarrass Notre Dame, they will be embarrassed, Notre Dame. I'm telling you, I don't see any way Notre Dame wins this game unless Alabama has a plethora of injuries or COVID strikes the day of the game. I do not see how Notre Dame wins this game. I cannot come up with any. I think Alabama could be -3 in the turnover category and win this game. Notre Dame, I don't think offensively is that great. I know they've scored points. I know they beat Clemson in double overtime, and Clemson's missing their quarterback, who could be a Heisman Trophy winner, which is a big deal. And that game was at home, by the way. And Clemson's missing three defensive starters and two studs. And we saw what happened in the rematch. And I think Alabama's more talented than Clemson, honestly. I don't know if Notre Dame can't hang with Clemson when Clemson's at full strength. How are they going to hang with Alabama at full strength? I just don't. I don't know who Notre Dame's going to defend Devontae Smith with. Notre Dame's got a good running back. Their line's solid. Their quarterback's solid. But I don't think Ian Book holds a candle to a lot of quarterbacks, the top quarterbacks in the nation, like Trask and like Jones of Alabama and others. I'm sorry. I'm just not bought in. I think Notre Dame is what they've been for a while. I think they are better this year than some of years past when we said they're basically a fraud. But when you go up against Alabama, there is a gigantic drop-off from 1, 2, and 3, and then Notre Dame is 4. And I just don't see any which way, unless Alabama literally forfeits, how Notre Dame wins this game. I don't. And I don't even know how Notre Dame covers. I said yesterday 17.5 or Monday. It's now 19.5. Here's my final score, 45-17. And I think 45 might be conservative. I don't see how Alabama can hold down this Alabama offense. And I'm sorry, but Florida's got much better athletes than Notre Dame does. And Florida held Alabama to 52. And by the way, this is on turf. It's in a dome, in essence, Jerry's World. Conditions will be fine. Maybe that's the best chance you have, Notre Dame, is having the game on grass and you water down the field and it's muddy. Then you might have a chance. I just don't see it, Dusty. I don't see it.
I don't think there's a lot of people that do.
No.
I don't think there's a lot of people that think Notre Dame can cover.
ESPN predictor, by the way, is the biggest waste of time and ever. Says that Notre Dame has an 18% chance of winning. No, they don't.
No,
they don't. They do not. That's saying that. That's telling. Listen, think about this for a second. If you want to understand what that means, 18% chance of winning. So you're saying one out of every five times, which would be 20%. Once out of every five times Alabama and Notre Dame play, Notre Dame will win. Bull honky. Notre Dame and Alabama can play 10 times, and Notre Dame might get lucky to come close in one of those 10. I'm just saying it. I could be dead wrong come next week. I'm sorry. And I'm not an Alabama fan. No. I had the eye test. This game reminds me of LSU-Oklahoma last year, except Oklahoma could actually score a lot of points. I don't think Notre Dame can. I think Notre Dame's defense is better than Oklahoma's defense was a year ago. Mm-hmm. But Alabama and LSU are very similar, in my opinion. LSU last year and this year's Alabama team. I think Alabama's better at running back. I think Harris is better than Elair. I think that Devontae Smith is great, but I think LSU had Chase and Jefferson. Mm-hmm. The offensive line is very comparable. The quarterback, Mac Jones, is putting up numbers close to what Joe Burrow did last year, which is amazing. And Alabama has been very consistent this year offensively throughout the year. I just see, and everybody could made up all these things about how Oklahoma's going to hang around with LSU, and then guess what? They got blown out of the building. I think that's exactly what happens in Notre Dame. So, what's your prediction? What's your score?
52-20.
52-20.
Okay. I'll put it a little higher for Alabama.
45-17 is what I got. So we're saying 28-32 point difference, and it might be worse than that. All right, the second semifinal, 7 o'clock on ESPN. That's the Sugar Bowl down at Mercedes-Benz Stadium, Superdome in New Orleans. You got Clemson versus Ohio State. This one to me is a lot harder. Clemson is a 7.5-point favorite, which I think is a little bit high. Ohio State has not played well the last couple of games, but they've also had to deal with COVID and not playing for a few weeks. Mm-hmm. They should be more well-rested. They got more guys back. Clemson looked really good against Notre Dame, but I don't know how much stock I put in that win because I don't think Notre Dame's as good as their ranking. Ohio State could have easily won this game. In fact, could have won this game, maybe should have won this game a year ago in the playoffs, and Justin Fields threw an interception. We didn't have to force it down the field when they got inside the Clemson 30 and they had some time on the clock. I think Ohio State has plenty of motivation, obviously. Dabo Sweeney has them ranked to number 11. He's explained that you know, anybody that's played less than 9 games and you're not in my top 10, I respect that. I believe that's cool. He says, but yeah, Ohio State, I'd say that any team in that situation. And he says, yeah, they're good enough to beat us. Well, they are. I agree with that as well. I think Clemson is really good. I don't know if they're quite as good as they were a few years ago when they won it all. I do think they're maybe better than they were last year. Ohio State, I think the jury's out because they've only played the 6 games. They haven't gotten to a rhythm. Ohio State's got a lot to prove in this game. I can definitely see the scenario where Ohio State wins. And I don't like Ohio State, and I don't like Clemson per se either, although I respect Clemson. I would rather have Ohio State, Alabama, instead of Clemson, Alabama, just for something different? A little bit different? Just a little bit different? But I think this will be a good game. I don't think this will be a blowout. And I'm almost, my head's telling me pick Clemson, but other parts of me is saying Ohio State's going to find a way to win this game. What do you think?
Yeah, I'm on Clemson, but I'm not saying like it's a blowout either. I think Clemson's going to kind of backdoor cover. Like, I got a 34-24 Clemson type score, but like 27-24, and they get a late touchdown. Just something like that. I just give the edge a little bit to Clemson, just based on, you know, obviously more experience this year. And, you know, some of the things Ohio State's had to deal with, and I don't know if they're quite there where they want to be fully yet. They've had a little more extra time, I guess, to prepare for this. So that
less wear and tear on their bodies.
That's true. But it's just a little edge to Clemson.
I'll go on a limb. I'll take Ohio State in this game, be a little bit different, because I can see the narrative after the game. We were disrespected. I can see a narrative of the game from Ohio State's perspective. We were disrespected. We wanted Tildaba to shut it up, and we did. And we should have won last year, and we didn't. This year, Justin Fields gets redemption. And that they have finally put it together, because they haven't put together the best game. I could also see the other side of the narrative is Ohio State had an unfair advantage because they only played six games, and Clemson got nicked up in this game because, you know, they played more games. Mm-hmm. And Ohio State had an advantage, and Clemson can use that as an excuse. Their fans can. I'll go ahead and pick Ohio State just because I want to see a different matchup than Clemson-Alabama. And honestly, if Clemson-Alabama play, I'll cheer for Clemson again. I'll cheer for anybody to beat Alabama. In fact, I'll cheer for Notre Dame to beat Alabama. Actually, I don't think I can do that. I can't pick either one of those teams to win. I want them both to lose. My son goes, who do you want to win, Alabama-Notre Dame? I said, can they both lose? And he started laughing. I go, I'm serious. I don't like either one of them. But I said, there is no way Notre Dame wins that game. No way. No way.
No.
No way. So I got Ohio State, Alabama. You got Clemson, Alabama. Yay. Okay. NBA record last night. Did you see this by the Milwaukee Bucks?
Yeah.
After getting pulverized by the Knicks, the Bucks went out last night and beat the Heat 144-97. Rematch of conference semis last year. Heat won over the Bucks. The Bucks played against the Heat. Heat didn't have Jimmy Butler. The Bucks made 29 out of 51 three-pointers. That's the NBA record for makes for 29 threes. The Rockets had the previous record of 28. Here's the crazier stat. 12 different Bucks players made three-pointers. You know the only Buck that didn't hit a three-pointer last night was Giannis.
Nice.
The two-time reigning MVP is the only one that didn't make a three last night. 12, every player on the roster that played hit a three. Didn't just score, made a three, except Giannis. And they beat the Heat by 47. What's with these big blowouts? We've seen a lot of those in the NBA already.
I don't know what it is right now.
Here's another question for you. Why did the Brooklyn Nets start 2-0 and look like gangbusters, and then they rest Durant and Irving at the same time? Why not play one of them, have a chance to win, then the next game rest the other? Why do you rest them at the same night?
I don't know why teams do that.
I don't get that either.
You know, it's not just the Nets that have done it, you know.
Don't you think you might need that for home court earlier in the year by just giving away a game?
Yeah.
Because the Nets lost to the Grizzlies last night. John Morant, or the night before, John Morant got hurt. Out 3 to 5 weeks, outstanding young player, rookie of the year last year. But they started off beating the Bucks. Who did they beat? They beat the Celtics and the Bucks, I think. The Nets looked great. Mm-hmm. Blew these teams out and then turn around and lose to two teams that aren't that good because they rest their star players. We've only played two games and we're resting guys.
Yeah, that's what I don't understand.
Why not rotate the two stars?
Yeah, I know it's going to be a different year from that aspect.
By the way, if you're talking about, the wear and tear of the bubble and it's a short time after the season was over, Durant sat out a year and a half and Irving missed almost all of last year.
It's like these are guys that are coming back anyway that should be
fresh.
Feeling good.
But I understand health concerns. I just don't understand why you rest them both at the exact same time.
I can't answer it.
Okay.
Like the Spurs would do that too. Like, you know, they were the first ones that really started resting people, would do that the same way. They would just rest a bunch of people one night.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I don't know if that's the way I'd go about it, but I guess I'm not the guy. I'm not the NBA
head. I'd want to give myself a better chance to I guess.
You still want to try to win, right?
Yeah. I don't know. Anyway. Who's the best team in the National Football League right now, in your opinion? And I'm not talking about record. I'm talking about who's playing the best football right now. Because I think it's even for Chiefs fans, it's hard for them to say the Chiefs are. And yeah. I know it doesn't matter who's playing the best football at this moment, because it's who's playing the best come mid-January when the Chiefs get back on the field, January 15th or 16th, or who, you know, the wild card weekend, January 9th. I get that. But right now, the Chiefs don't look like the best team in the National Football League. I know 7 straight wins by a score, you know, 7 points or less. That's the NFL record. They haven't blown anybody out. They play the elbow competition. They're 14-1. They have the best record. I still think they're the team to beat. I think they do flip that switch. And they're not going to play down a level of competition in the playoffs because they can't. We know that every team in the playoffs in the AFC is going to have a record of at least 10 wins. That's not chopped liver. In fact, every team in the AFC might have 11 wins. The Bills look good. The Packers have played well lately. Although I question, you know, Packers beat the Titans. Titans are a good team. The Bills beat the Patriots. They're not what they once were. Who do you think is the best team right now based on how they're playing? Would you say it's the Bills?
It's the Bills or the Packers.
I say it's the Bills.
I would say just like the full package,
yeah, right?
Like just everything they do.
The Packers wins during their winning streak right now aren't very impressive except for the Titan win.
Yeah.
And they got up early to where that negated Derrick Henry because they're not good against the run. So getting the bigger lead early took away the run game. I think the Bills are playing the best football right now, but I still think of the Chiefs, Bills, and it's an Arrowhead, and I got Mahomes, and I got Josh Allen, who hasn't been in this situation before. You know, I am a little bit worried that the Chiefs went up there and just ran it down the Bills' throats, and their game plan was kind of weird defensively, the Bills. And I do worry about a game against the Bills, but I worry anybody the Chiefs play because this AFC playoff picture is stacked, man.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, every team could give the Chiefs problems when I'm looking at it. I really believe any team that makes the playoffs out of the AFC can give the Chiefs problems. And why wouldn't you say that? They haven't blown anybody out for 2 months. You know, the Bills, I think, give them problems because they got the Bills are one of the teams that have the offensive firepower to score points with the Chiefs, I think. Josh Allen, Stephon Diggs having a huge year. The Steelers, I don't worry. I think they're the team I don't worry about very much.
Mm-hmm.
And they're probably going to be the 3 seed. They're going to Mason Rudolph against Cleveland, so that gives the Browns a better chance to win. The Tennessee Titans are the 4 seed. They worry me. They're better offensively this year, but their defense is not as good. So maybe you're all right there as a Chiefs fan. The Dolphins, they got good defense, although I'm not sold on Tua per se. The Ravens worry me some because, you know, they could run the ball, get a lead, but I think the Chiefs have figured them out. The Browns worry me a little bit because they do have a good defensive front four that could get pressure without blitzing, and they could shorten the game and run the ball with Chubb and Hunt, former Chief, against the Chiefs. You know, I could see that. The Colts worry me more than probably the Browns and the Ravens and the Dolphins do, and the Colts might even not get in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
So I think you can worry about lots of matchups. If you're a Chiefs fan, you probably always worry about the playoffs, you know, choking or losing early in the playoffs, something like that. And weren't we all saying that when they're down 24-0 against the Texans last year?
Mm-hmm.
And the next thing you know, they come back and then win out. And by the way, here's interesting stuff. Since the NFL expanded to a 16-game schedule in 1978, there have been exactly 100 teams that have finished a season with 11-5 record. 98 of those teams went to the playoffs. The only two that went 11-5 and didn't make the playoffs, I've told you about this, Matt Castle and the Patriots in 2008 when Brady got hurt. Castle had an 11-5 record, didn't make the playoffs. The 85 Broncos went 11-5, didn't make the playoffs. But what's really crazy is they expanded the playoffs this year. So there's an extra team that gets in. And the thought was, well, you're going to get a team that's really good. That's going to help widen the field. The Colts would be the first team to not make a 7-team playoff field and go 11-5.
Mm-hmm.
And how could that happen? Well, the Colts will beat the Jags because the Jags don't want to win, and the Colts need to win. But the Colts need the Browns to lose to Pittsburgh at home. They need the Ravens to lose, which is against Cincinnati, or they need the Dolphins to lose at Buffalo. But here's the question mark. And then Tennessee still got to win their division if they take out their final game, who they play, the Texans, I believe.
Yeah.
So I would imagine what's going to happen is the Chiefs are the one, of course. The Buffalo, the Steelers are going to rest some guys against the Browns, so then that means the Bills might rest some guys. So I think the Bills will stay at 2, probably. The Steelers at 3. But how the Steelers handle things against the Browns and how the Bills handle things against the Dolphins is going to determine the Colts' fate, unfortunately for them, and unless the Texans can pull off the upset against the Titans. And then you know what? Then the Titans are in trouble. I think they're in the playoffs no matter what, but then the Dolphins or the Browns get knocked out. And the Ravens, there's no guarantee they're going to win against Cincinnati. Cincinnati beat the Steelers recently. The Browns, everybody's like automatically picking the Browns to win now because Mason Rudolph's going to start. You know the bad blood between Myles Garrett and the Browns and Mason Rudolph last year with the throwing the helmet and so forth and so on? You don't think there's a little irony here? You don't think the Steelers still would love to end the Browns season so that they couldn't possibly rematch in the first round of the playoffs? I'm going to tell you something. The Browns still got problems with COVID-19. Two more players yesterday added to the COVID-19 list. I don't even care if it's Roethlisberger or Rudolph. I still think the Browns are going to have a hard time winning that game against Pittsburgh. So I think the Colts have still a really good chance to make the playoffs, and then I think they can make a run. I really do. And I know they have Phillip Rivers, a quarterback, who's going to make one boneheaded play a game, but they're good enough to win games despite one boneheaded play. Now, against the Chiefs, I don't know.
Yeah.
But who do you think is going to make the playoffs? Who do you think it's going to stay like it is, and the Colts are out? And if the Colts are in, what team is out? I ask you this today because you'll be gone tomorrow.
I'm feeling like with what the Steelers and Bills might do, it's just going to stay the same. Hard.
Yeah, I think that's the easy thing to do is that everybody's going to win. And I've seen this 1,000 times at the end of the year. No teams, there's always somebody gets knocked off that you usually don't even expect.
I'd say maybe the Browns lose and whoever that's going to be.
I think that
vaults the Colts probably into that spot, and then everybody else stays in.
That'd
be the one for me, maybe.
That's how I'm leaning. I think the Browns are going to have the epic collapse.
But then you
lost to the Jets are going to cost them a playoff spot. They're going to lose to the Steelers, and people are going to say, how can you lose the Steelers when they're playing Mason Rudolph? And Mason Rudolph will have revenge against the Browns, and the Steelers could make the Bills obviously do what they need to do to get that too, which doesn't really matter per se. You know, do you want to play in Pittsburgh or Buffalo in the second round of the playoffs? You know, it looks like Pittsburgh doesn't care. And there will be no fans, so that's not a big issue. But do you really want to play in Buffalo if it's really snowy and stuff? I don't know. But Pittsburgh apparently doesn't care. So the Bills may say, well, if they don't care, we don't care. But what if Pittsburgh still wins with Mason Rudolph? Browns get knocked out. And then the Steelers move up to the 2 and the Bills fall to the 3 because they don't play everybody against Miami.
Yeah. Those games are at the same time, too. So
right.
And they do that on purpose, by the way.
Which is smart.
Yeah, so there's not people that are like, oh, here, this is what we need to do. You just go out there and play. I think the goal is to have everybody, if it's a situation where you need to win, they just go out and play everybody, and that's the goal. The Chiefs are in a different situation, so that's why they're moved to 325. They don't have to play everybody, and everybody knows that.
Right.
And so it's a little different look. So, that'd be tough. It'd be a tough way for the Bills to have to lose that second seed and maybe a home playoff game in the second round.
Right. And it'll allow the Dolphins in, and the Dolphins could end up playing one of those teams in the playoffs. And they always worry about letting a team in and then get beat by that team in the playoffs. Yeah. You could have kept them out. Here's the crazy thing about the Colts. If the Colts win, which they should against the Jaguars, and they end up 11-5, and the Titans lose to the Texans, the Colts would be the 4 seed and host a playoff game. They could also win and not even make the playoffs, 11-5 record. So they could be a 4 seed or completely out. While the NFC has a 7-9 or 6-10 team that's going to get a home game, wins a division.
Yeah.
And another 9-win team that's going to make a playoff berth. Well, either the Bears or Cardinals will be in, and the Rams might be another 9-win team that gets in if they lose this week. So you could have 3 teams with less than 10 wins make it in the NFC, and the AFC could have no one with less than 11. You tell me where the power is.
Oh, there's no question.
You win the AFC, they should just give you the Super Bowl, and now you have to play the final game. I'm kidding, of course. Some people thought that was the way it was last year. The NFC was pretty solid. So we'll see how it plays out. But I'm absolutely fascinated. Even though the Chiefs got a game at 3:25, 2:00 kick on Sunday, where it doesn't mean anything, and it sounds like Andy's going to rest his guys, which he should. I don't care if the Chiefs win the game or not. If they do, great, 15-1. If they lose it, that's fine too. Whatever. But I'm not worried at all about. For once, I'm not even worried about watching the Chiefs game.
Mm-hmm.
I'm all about following. Are the Browns going to get in? Will that Jets loss cost them? Will the Dolphins with Tua get in? Or will Fitzpatrick come off the bench and get them into the playoffs? You know, will the Steelers, ruin the Browns and that rivalry, and the Browns look like a shoe-in to make the playoffs? Will the Titans choke against the Texans? You know, this would be the perfect situation where the Texans just play their best game of the year.
Yeah.
J.J. Watt firing everybody up and mad. Deshaun Watson, they're capable. and the Titans lose, and then I think they'd still be in if they lose. But then the Colts go all the way up number four and get a home playoff game, and that might, that actually might knock out the Dolphins. I don't know the scenario, but if Titans would lose, well, no. If the Titans lose and the Dolphins win, the Dolphins have a better record. So think about this for a second. If the Titans lose and the Dolphins, the Browns, and the Ravens, and the Colts all win, the Titans are out of the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I don't think the Texans are going to win now that I look at it that way.
Yeah. I don't say no to that.
No. They usually play tough, close games, Titans, Texans.
And I don't say no to the Titans being out of the playoffs either.
Right. You're okay with that?
I know they kind of bucked the trend last year, the Chiefs did, but it's, right. I don't want to play the Titans.
I'll tell you, whoever Pittsburgh plays, that's like going to be a tough out for Pittsburgh. I don't care who they play.
Oh, yeah.
Pittsburgh's got to play the Titans, the Dolphins, the Browns, the Ravens. Yeah, they got to play the Colts again.
Should have lost to the Colts.
They should have lost to the Colts. Colts are up 24-7. They're rolling them. So it'll be interesting, but that makes it exciting. In the NFC, I'm not really overly worried about what's happening in the NFC per se, because you've got, you know, teams that aren't that great that are trying to get in, like the Cardinals and the Bears, who aren't that. To me, the Bears aren't a playoff team. The Cardinals should be, but they've lost games they shouldn't have.
Mm-hmm.
The Rams should be a playoff team. They lost to the Jets at home. And then the NFC East, I just think they should give up their berth and hand it to the Colts to be in. Let the Colts go to the NFC. Let the Colts have the spot. It doesn't seem fair, but life's not fair, as we know. Enjoy your day off tomorrow.
I appreciate it.
See you in 2021. Sayonara, 2020.